Villainous Beats.
Every other Wednesday.
Welcome to Every Other Wednesday, a bi-weekly, well, sorta, conversation with me, Dylan Bickers, and my good friend and co-host, Devin Navaratnam. This week we have a special guest, Max Temkin, and he has some recommendations.
This week on our super awesome, bi-frequent, not exactly bi-weekly, because we skip some weeks because
we're podcast.
Terrible at, like, scheduling. We have breakout star Max Temkin of Cards Against Humanity fame, and also of the fantastic podcast Due by Friday. Hi, Max.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So, trying to think of a good question to start off with, and I'm trying to avoid superlatives because I just watched that new
Season
Gray video. And also, there is a rule on the frequently asked questions on Max Existentialism. No questionnaires. But when did you start being interested in podcasts? Not necessarily as a medium that you, like, participate in actively, but when did you start listening?
Man, I have that's a great question, and no one has ever asked me that before, and I haven't really thought about that. That's a fucking great question. I've always been just very, very interested in audio. Mm-hmm. So when I love listening to radio shows, at times when I'm alone, if I'm working, like, there's lots of types. I have a weird brain in that there's, like, lots of types of productive work I can do while people are talking and I can follow the conversation. I know my girlfriend, for example, that drives her insane. And I've had to learn that that's not something that everyone has, like, can tolerate, but it's fine for it's. I've always enjoyed that. So when I was growing up, I used to listen to Loveline. How old are you guys?
25.
You guys would have had Loveline. Do you remember that show at all? It was Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew on K Rock in Los Angeles, and at least here in Chicago, it was on. I think it was on Kiss FM. Kiss, yeah, I think that was syndicated on Kiss FM.
I am, and it was super, like, drawing a blank.
it was a big cultural phenomenon. It was before Dr. Drew was a weird Dr. Oz sellout, and before Adam Carolla was, like, a right wing troll. And basically, the conceit was, it was a doctor and a comedian, and people would call in with their health and relationship and life advice, and they would give them advice. And I don't know, what can I say? Like, it was really funny. It was really ahead of its time. It was really cutting edge. Mm-hmm. It had this crazy sort of conversational voice that I really was drawn to. And I listened to it, like, every very formative to my sense of humor. And I just listened to it on the radio, like, live on the radio with ads and shit.
Yeah.
For years and years and years, like, every night before I went to sleep, I would listen to Loveline, and I had other kind of comedy nerd friends who would listen to it, and we would, like, talk about it at school. And then very early on the internet, there were fan sites where you could download, like, legendary Loveline calls. So I'll send you some for the show notes, but there's some, like, legendary calls that became, like, you know, important jokes in the Loveline, you know, lore. So that was a big one. And then eventually, like, by the time I got to college, I don't know that you would call it, like, a podcast per se, but there were people who made MP3s of the episodes, and you could listen to those on your computer. And the first audio thing I got was one of those little iPods that would fit in the long skinny one that would go in the change pocket of your jeans.
Oh yeah, that good shuffle. Yeah.
Was it the shuffle?
I feel like it was the shuffle.
iPod
was,
shuffle.
Yeah, that was the
iPod Nano.
Oh, that's what it was. Fuck.
But it was the one before it had a screen. iPod Nano first generation. Yeah! Look at that shit. iPod Nano first generation.
Oh my god.
And so back in the day, what you would do is you would put these MP3s, you would download these, you would go overnight because there was no cable modems, and you would download MP3s of these radio programs, and then you would plug the thing in with the that 30-pin dock adapter cable and very slowly transfer over like a week, like 7 episodes of Loveline. And then I would just take this thing around campus with me and listen to Loveline on here. And eventually I did discover that through iTunes, you could subscribe to podcasts. And at that time, the podcasts that I knew about were all NPR programs. So I would get Radiolab, This American Life, Fresh Air with Harry Gross, maybe a handful of others. And I those would be... you know, like an RSS feed, and they would automatically, when you would plug your iPod in every night, they would go on there. And that was it. That I was hooked. That was I listened to the Ricky Gervais podcast back in the day. And that was weird because you had to buy it like an audiobook and then sync it. So like that's how old it is like all the conventions of podcasts didn't quite exist yet. And then eventually through Twitter and Favard, I sort of found Merlin and Adam and Scott, and they were doing You Look Nice Today. Do you guys know about that?
I do. I do.
It was like the proto kind of comedy pod, amateur pod, comedy podcast, I guess. And they just invented a lot of the conventions of the ways that that worked, and I became a fan of them. And I also heard... Is this answer too long?
No, not at all.
And then I also heard... because then I started following those guys, and then I heard Merlin was on an episode of Mac Sparky, or Mac Power Users, sorry, MPU. And it was like his first where he went on and talked about what apps he used. And that was the first time I didn't hear Merlin do comedy, but he was talking about like email and project management. And that changed my life. I mean, that really... That was like a moment for me of realizing that I could like be in control of what I did every day. It was the first time I heard Merlin sort of talk about like time and attention. And that was a really formative, that was it for me. Then I was like down the rabbit hole of not only of this, the Mac power users world and learning about Mac productivity,
but
and,
like 42 folders and
yeah,
like
that whole
PDA,
world,
all that shit.
Oh yeah. It just, it like bust open for me with that one interview. I mean, I literally, I started carrying a hipster PDA around to class and I would write my homework down. And I mean, it all just like the dam burst. And it really, it was a big moment for me because it was like, I felt like I was in control of this technology and I was able to make it sing and dance and do stuff for me and make my life better rather than that I was constantly one step behind. That was how it felt. And so, and from there, I mean, the other big like milestones for podcasting were the 5x5 network when that was really at its peak. And then you had every week a new Marco podcast, a new Syracuse podcast, and a new Merlin podcast. And maybe some other stuff I was listening to on 5x5, but they would all comment on each other's shows. And then there would be follow-up, which was, that's kind of where follow-up came from, was Syracuse.
Copyright John Syracuse
2000. Copyright John Syracuse 2010. But like, that's kind of where that follow-up came from. Cause everyone would be like, follow-up, I disagree with what Marco said. And then there would be these like amazing cross show conversations. And then of course there came Roderick on the Line, and that's, I love Merlin talking about computers and stuff, but man, just him and Roderick talking about life. Like, I've been on board the roller coaster of that show since it started, since Roderick co-hosted an episode of Back to Work. And that was it. And then, you know, obviously podcasting just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And now I'm like overwhelmed. Like, I went, you know, like I can't possibly pick what to listen to every day.
Yeah.
And it's just like an embarrassment of riches. But yeah, that's kind of my journey. What about you guys were a little younger than, so I'm like 31. So what were the big ones for you? Like, what were those big milestones for you guys?
So, I'll try and make this quick, 'cause I know, Devin actually has a tie in to some work you'd done prior. I actually wasn't familiar with you until probably halfway through 2017. And that was because of Mike Hurley, because the first podcast I hopped on board of was Cortex with CGP Grey and Mike Hurley. And that was the only thing I subscribed to, the only thing I really listened to before I really like found the depth of the medium and decided to explore other things before I found, obviously, you guys, a lot of Merlin's work, going back and finding You Look Nice Today and being like, wow, this is fucking hilarious. But before I came to Cortex, I think my passion for like the audio medium kind of started with my dad, to be completely honest, because so I grew up in a very, very, very conservative family. My mom was like very hardcore Catholic, and like watched Fox News all the time, and I was super indoctrinated. But whenever like my dad would visit, and we'd go out and do just whatever, go to like a micro center and whatever the fuck and look at random computer parts and shit, we would play, he'd play NPR. And normally on Saturdays, around the time that we'd go and hang out and do guy stuff, like looking at nerdy computer parts, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me would be on. And so Peter Sagal was like my first introduction to like proper, like comedic audio, the comedic audio medium. And I think that's what kind of got me interested in it to begin with.
Oh man, that's so... I have very clear memories of when I was very young driving around with my dad on a Saturday morning listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on the radio. Uh-oh. Am I supposed to be hearing something right now?
Devin, are you... You sound super far away.
Oh, no! That's not good.
It's okay if you scream, if you shout like that.
Yeah, I gotta shout like that. Oh. Somehow my
and then did you guys get What Do You Know with Michael Feldman? That was kind of, that's a show out of Madison Public Radio, but it was very funny.
Yeah, definitely.
That was like the block, the Saturday morning block was like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, What Do You Know with Michael Feldman, and then Car Talk.
Yes, and it was, Car Talk.
It was solid.
With Tip
yeah,
and Tap
solid.
And Tapper Brothers. Oh my god.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I'm getting big Saturday morning vibes from this.
I'm going to do a test.
There
you guys
go.
Hear me now?
You sound fine.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's much better.
All right. I was going to say Prairie Home Companion as well.
Isn't
that's the name of that show,
now?
Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, we don't like that. No, I never thought show was funny.
It's problematic in that it's not funny. It was it's dad humor, so... That was my dad's.
I never quite got into Prairie Home Companion the way some people did. To me, this is just me personally. To me, it's nostalgic for something that I wasn't alive for, and I get it, but I have no connection to the thing that show is referencing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. What Dylan was alluding to. So I'm kind of like out of my element because like. I don't have like 5x5 knowledge. Like, who's Merlin Mann? I don't know, guys.
Oh, Alexa, who is Merlin Mann?
Alexa, stop.
sorry. But what Dylan was alluding to was
Alexa, stop. Alexa, stop.
I used to watch you on when you were on Giant Bomb. Some time ago.
Okay.
So yeah.
That's a 2014 podcast.
14, or something like that. And then you were probably on the show. What, 2012, 2013? I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds.
You were on there
for a while. I was on there all the time.
Yeah, and you were on their porn casting couch at some point, some E3. Right?
That is correct. I was there for that. Yeah.
Oh wow, that's great. Oh man.
But yeah, now
that's a storied podcast.
That's a podcast that I actually patronize. So,
oh yes. Wow! Now I've fallen off a little bit, and part of it is that you know, just the show changed a lot since you know when I was hanging out. You know, I was there for the Ryan and Patrick days.
Right.
To me, that was like the glory days. But
right.
Also, like, man, I just don't consume gaming news. Like, I've just sort of like. I've just decided that I don't really care about any sort of gaming news. Like, I'll just play stuff when my friends tell me it's good. And
yeah,
I don't otherwise, I don't really need to find out about anything.
It can kind of get samey a lot, but the personalities of Giant Bomb are always just, like, fucking fantastic. And that's kind of what they grew on. So, like, I don't know. They got some new millennials in. Holy shit. They got Ben Pack and Abby. So, yeah.
This is one of my big regrets because I know you, like, from episode one of Every Other Wednesday, you've been trying to get me to listen to Giant Bomb, and I still haven't, and I feel like I'm neglecting my duties as a good friend and co-host.
Well, I mean, I haven't been listening to 5x5 stuff, so...
I mean, Giant Bomb, I think what's good about it is it really feels like you're hanging out with these guys. And right. So, I mean, is it still like 3 hours long?
The podcast is usually like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, so it really does feel like you're just hanging out with these guys for hours and hours and hours.
Right.
But,
and then, you know, Jeff now hosts the after show, too, so...
Oh, my God. So are they on Patreon or what?
They are, that's, you go through their own website. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. But, I also think there is, it does take a while to ease into it because there's a lot of guys and there's a lot of sort of back, you know, in jokes and backstory to everything. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to even like distinguish everyone's voices from each other. Mm-hmm. And that, to get that feeling of like, oh, I'm hanging out with my friends. Like you do have to put in a lot of hours of listening to sort of.
Right. And now they have, you know, they have more than 10 years of content now. So when you're paying into that, you can watch all their videos. And now they have like an infinite stream on Twitch where you can just watch Giant Bomb forever, which is fucking crazy. But they have like a whole like, hey, vote in this poll and then it'll come up to the next video and you can watch it for free on Twitch.
Nice.
So if you ever want to do that, if you're on the fence of premium membership, go to twitch.com/GBInfinite and yeah, that's just the plug right there.
Just consume it. I think that was kind of a similar experience I had when I was first introduced to the McElroys, because I didn't know what Monster Factory was. I'd never listened to Mabim Bam, but similar to finding out about Dubai Friday, I found out about the Adventure Zone from Mike Hurley because it was on his Instagram story and he was freaking out about it because it was so good. And I was like, I should give this a shot. I remember it was a weekend. I was supposed to drive up from Dover to Ithaca to visit my sister. And I started playing the Adventure Zone on the drive and initially had some difficulty distinguishing who's Travis, who's Justin, who's, well, Griffin. Yeah. Griffin is always unmistakable. So I could probably do the same with Giant Bomb.
Maybe. I actually came in. When did you fall off Giant Bomb, Max? Like,
I don't know, just gradually over the last 5 or 6 years, I guess. I just stopped consuming so much gaming news. Like it just, okay. it at a certain point, like I had less and less time to play games.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, I don't have time to like hear news about games
news
that I can't play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And I do love hearing them talk, but like, and I like that feeling of like hanging out with funny people, but like, I don't know. Like I was like, if I have a free hour, I would rather spend it playing a video game
than hearing people. Like it's one step removed from watching people play the video game. Like it's people talking in an audio medium where you can't see the video game, and they're just talking very nerdy stuff about frames and resolutions and mechanics and story mechanics. And
I mean, I think you can learn a lot about like media criticism. Like I think they're super funny.
Right.
Like there's a lot. There's a lot of great things about that podcast. It just came down to like triage for me of like trying to pick what I do with my time. And then the other thing is I'm sure this is super lame, but like after the 2016 election, like I did have just a harder time. Like almost all I listen to now is politics stuff. Like
it's
kind of weird, but like I just can't. It's I'm so anxious all the time, and I'm thinking about politics all the time that it's I start to get anxious if I'm listening to people talk about video games for too long. I'm like I could be learning something instead of this.
Yeah, I super empathize with that, and I'm sure Devin does too. I mean, you're talking to two big old liberal JSA cucks. So
there you go.
Are you guys listening to Against the Rules with Michael Lewis?
I am not.
That's so funny. I just saw it come up in my Overcast recommendation thing, and I just subscribed to it and downloaded all the episodes. I'm really excited to get into it next week.
Do you know about this, Dylan?
I do not.
You know, Michael Lewis wrote The Fifth Risk recently, which I read based on the podcast recommendation. So
also just announced it is being adapted as a TV a Netflix documentary series by Barack Obama.
Oh, hell yeah.
I did not know that was the... Oh, wow, cool. I knew he was doing something there, but I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah, so Against the Rules is basically where famed investigative journalistic writer Michael Lewis kind of tears apart a world of different rules and figures out, like, who are the entities that are breaking these rules and why, and like, why the rules aren't being enforced like they were before. So it's kind of what he was doing with The Fifth Risk, but on a different scale. Like, he did one about basketball a while ago, and it's pretty good. Like, people get mad at refs, but you know, it's not the ref's fault. It's just that people really are attached to superstars, and then superstars get mad, they get mad, and they're like, that's why so much money is put into the ref business. I'm getting on a tangent here, but Against the Rules,
it's hell yeah, show. I just added it to my Overcast, very excited.
Is there any other, like, things you guys want to highlight podcast-wise?
Oh, let's open the old app up.
Ooh, the McElroy brothers will be in Trolls 2.
Ah, boy, did I like that.
They just came out with a new one.
Oh, word?
Yeah, shit. I thought there'd be the details on this one.
So,
the McElroy brothers will be on The Tonight Show on October 16th. Oh, wow. New episode. So, go some of that.
So one I'm super looking forward to, and we can cut this out depending, because I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I'm really looking forward to Two-Headed Girl with Alex and Matchy. I think going to be amazing.
I have that. I'm subscribed to that. I'm excited to see what that's going to be as well.
Me too.
I didn't know they were making a podcast.
Yeah, they did like a preview, and you can subscribe to the feed, and I'm waiting for it to drop.
Very cool.
I really like a podcast called Citations Needed with Nima Shirazi and Adam Johnson. It's very important that you, when you search for this, that you look up Citations Plural Needed and not Citation Needed, because that is an alt-right podcast.
Oof.
But Citations Needed is it is a podcast about sort of media criticism. Mm-hmm. And so they take a popular political issues in the media and dissect them. How does the media cover it, and what's the reality? So one of my favorite episodes that I recommend as like a starter episode is like the Campus PC Panic. Let me see if I can find the exact episode.
Is it Attack of the PC College Kids, episode 32?
Attack of the PC College Kids. What episode number is that?
32.
Episode number 32.
I'll save it for sure.
I think that's like one of the best things they've ever done. And what they do is they take those stories of like, can you believe the college kids are doing this now? And they trace it down to like what actually happened that created that story, and what are the politics of that? And it's fascinating. I'm really enjoying, let's see what else is on here. WBEZ Chicago has a podcast called Public Official A, and that is the story of Rob Blagojevich, the guy who tried to sell the Senate seat and got, and he's in jail, and he's now, he's like, he went on Celebrity Apprentice, and he's trying to get a pardon from Trump.
Jesus.
Fascinating story, and like really gets to all of the stuff that I love about Illinois politics. Of course, Reply All, I think, is like my all-time favorite podcast, and just blows me away every week. Let's see, my favorite podcast of last year was The Dream about multi-level marketing. Really enjoyed that. Going through Heavyweight, Gimlet, it's, I think, the last Gimlet podcast I listened to, but really, really good. Yeah, those are like, I don't know. That's kind of like, oh, I really like, there was a podcast from Tor Labs, the sci-fi publisher, called Steal the Stars. And it's by theater people, not by science fiction writers. And so therefore it's very good. And it's a fiction. it's actually the only audio drama podcast that I've ever enjoyed. And this thing just hooked me so bad. Like, I just got all the way into this, and it was great storytelling, great acting. Like, everything was just amazing. And that's called Steal the Stars.
Hell yeah.
Definitely recommend that.
All of these have definitely been added to my Overcast library.
I don't know if we want to wrap up the podcast section, but...
this is the whole show?
Is this just going to be the whole show? We can just talk about this the whole show.
As Merlin would say, what's in the show is in the show.
What's in the show is in the show. I was going to say I like my comedy bits.
Let me throw one out. Do you guys know about Hello from the Magic Tavern?
No.
Oh, yes, man. Okay, I'm about to blow your minds. This is the podcast that you guys should get into. So this is a podcast. The premise is this guy Arnie is going through the drive-through at a Burger King in Chicago. He gets sucked through an interdimensional portal into the magical land of Foon. And he goes to the nearest tavern, and he sits down, and he meets a wizard who's kind of an old crank, mm-hmm. and a talking, shape-shifting badger named Chunt. The wizard is named Usidor, so it's Arnie, Usidor, and Chunt. Mm-hmm. And Arnie is still getting a faint Wi-Fi signal from the Burger King through the portal, and so he starts doing a podcast. And the podcast is called Hello from the Magic Tavern. And they interview all the colorful characters who come through the tavern. And it's completely improvised, but it is like the tightest, funniest improv from like absolutely. The real life guys who do this are so funny. I've been watching them perform forever. Like, they're super like comedy idols of mine, and the vibe they have together is incredible. It's very positive and silly and funny, and just could not recommend this podcast more highly. Hello from the Magic Tavern. And the other thing that's fun is, as you listen over, I do recommend going back and starting from the beginning. Mm-hmm. What's cool is they build the collective fiction that they build of this world as they go is incredible, because anytime they have someone on the podcast, whatever they say, they just say, yes, that's how it is. And then that's how it is forever. It's amazing.
Oh my god, so this is going to be the first thing I look into for sure.
I was going to just say Comedy Bang Bang. Do you guys listen to comedy? Well, I already asked Dylan this.
Max? It's not my favorite. I do listen to it, and I think there's some things, like, I love, like, Tawny Newsome is one of the people that I really love in Comedy Bang Bang, and she always makes me laugh, and there's other people who I listen to it, like, for the people, but in general, like, I think there is a little bit of a divide between sort of LA improv and LA comedy scene and like Chicago comedy scene.
It's true, because you actually have access to good comedy over there. So
yeah, and like, well, Comedy Bang Bang is very, very emblematic of the LA scene. It's not bad. I think what they're doing is really good and clearly like well liked, but it's not my aesthetic. Like I would say, like, the distinguishing thing in Chicago comedy, it's all about sort of earnestness and commitment. And when you do something, you just fucking jump into it. And it might fail and you might be embarrassed, but you're in it. And usually in that commitment, something, that's where you get these moments of transcendence, because it just gets more and more real. And then I think in the more LA style, I'm overgeneralizing, obviously, but in the LA sort of like Comedy Bang Bang style, you're always half committed to a bit. You have one foot in and one foot out.
Right.
And
there's always an out.
Yeah, and if the bit goes south, you're just like, oh, I didn't mean it to be funny. You know, like, I was doing it ironically. And there's something about not having that option that to me, it makes it higher stakes, imbues the scene with more reality. I like the earnest commitment of Magic Tavern is a really good example of like Chicago style improv, where it's like, and so I've heard the guys from Magic Tavern will sometimes call it what they do shovel prov, meaning someone just comes on and maybe they don't know what they're talking about and they start saying things in there, you know, because they just have celebrities or guests on, and whatever they say, that's the reality of it. And so they start digging a hole, and then the guys have to shovel out of the hole. And it is so fun watching them do it. Like, you know what's happening as the listener, And still, it's like it's so entertaining. It's so positive. Like they say yes to everything. Like it's just really wonderful.
Hell yeah!
Well, there's some guys on Comedy Bang Bang that I'll just listen to, like Horatio Sands and Ben Schwartz all the time. Like yeah. I will just listen to those episodes. Like those are fantastic. Andy Daly episodes. Any Andy Daly episode is
yeah.
Fantastic.
Are you guys watching Veep?
Yes,
I am loving Veep. Yeah,
yeah, he's very funny on Veep.
Oh yeah, he's so good.
Yeah.
So I think like what you said about the difference between the Chicago comedy and the LA comedy kind of struck a chord with me, because I just finished I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. Yeah. And holy shit. Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know where I would place that on the spectrum. It's kind of its own, it's just kind of its own thing.
Right.
But god damn, that's funny. Like that killed me.
He was on Comedy Bang Bang just recently, and he did this cool bit where, he's like, yeah, Scott Aukman is like, have you asked your wife if she's okay with you calling it I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, because maybe you're at the club, and I think you should leave with Tim Robinson could be a pickup line. And so he, like, puts this bit in where he's like, I'll just ask her, and I'll put it in post. And he's like, wait, what? And so they actually do, and they put it in post, and his wife's just like, why are you asking me these things? Like, what's going on?
Oh my god.
Oh, I love Tim Robinson.
Let me tell you a little buried Tim Robinson treasure that I've uncovered. Mm-hmm. You guys might know about this already, but it was news to me. So Netflix has another show, another sort of sketch show called The Characters.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And the premise of that is every episode they give a different creator one episode to do whatever they want. And there's a Tim Robinson episode, which is basically another episode of I Think You Should Leave.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Same people, same writing, same vibe.
I just get through that series. What is that called? Greatest Characters?
Yeah, it's Dylan. Called The Characters.
Mm-hmm. Dylan, are you fine?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm sorry. I'm flashing back to Lady Luck.
Yes.
So give good. Me my thousand now, back!
Now that's commitment to the bit.
Yes.
That's a good example of what I mean of, like, there would have been a lot of, a lesser performer, a lesser writer would have stopped. There's two phases of that sketch, right? There's the one where he comes in singing, and then there's the part where he gets really mad after everything goes wrong. Mm-hmm. And they both go on for too long, and it's very funny.
Yeah. And Tim Robinson does such a good job of, like, just being so angry. It makes my heart warm. I did actually have some questions about, because I'm currently reading a book that's very good for me. It was actually recommended on multiple podcasts that I listened to. Stopping the Noise in Your Head, Quieting the Noise in Your Head, something along those lines.
Okay.
And
that's the name of the book?
Yes. It was, hang on, it's about anxiety. And because I do have a broken brain, and
you know what book is really good? It's called Stopping the Noise in Your Head, The New Way to Overcome Anxiety and Worry by Reed Wilson.
Yes, that's what I'm reading.
Now, you know who wrote a great book about that is Dan Reichert.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I don't know what I expected, but that book just like blew me away.
Dan Reichert's Smartest Kid in
Gifted
Class.
Oh, look at this. I purchased this item on July 30th, 2018. I clearly never read it.
He has a Wikipedia page? What the hell?
Dan Reichert?
Yes.
He's a journalist.
Dan Reichert is...
Yeah, he's a serious journalist.
Serious journalist.
Anxiety as an Ally, How I Turned a Worried Mind into My Best Friend. Is this what you're talking about, Max?
That's the other one.
That's the one.
All right. Yep. Going to add this to my Kindle queue.
So, what was your anxiety book about, Dylan?
Sort of on the same vein. It's basically just dealing with having a broken brain, anxiety, and like essentially filtering out what is signal and what is noise and all that good stuff. But on the topic of that book being very good for me, I actually did have a question for Max about books I should read in self-harm about fascism in...
Oh, about books you
self-harm in fascism.
Oh yeah, I definitely, because I don't consume enough media about how everything is shit and how authoritarianism is on the rise around the world. So I really want a book that'll go, you know.
It's like a long-term project that I've always wanted to do is to make some sort of page of like, here's the books that I recommend, and just try to boil it down to like the, you know, the dozen books that I think are like, you know, really important to me. Because I do get asked this fairly often.
Mm-hmm.
But if I guess like a one quick thing is I'm just opening my Kindle app here. I recently read the new collection of short stories by Cory Doctorow called Radicalized. And I thought they were hit or miss, but the first one in particular called Illegal Bread was phenomenal. I definitely recommend that. And his last novel called Walk Away, I also really enjoyed and recommend that. And those are sort of like hard sci-fi stories.
Okay, hell yeah.
I really enjoyed. I love David Foster Wallace. I know it's cliche, but he is one of my favorite writers, and a great place to start. If you know, I don't necessarily think everyone should like jump into Infinite Jest or whatever, but he has two books of collected nonfiction. Those are just essays he wrote that are like, they're just so fucking funny and well written. Like, I can't stand it. They're called Consider the Lobster and A Supposedly Fun Thing I'll Never Do Again. And I just can't recommend those books highly enough. Like, they will just bring you so much joy, and they're just like buzzing with like energy and thoughtfulness, and they're awesome. I don't know what else to say. Like, those books rule so hard.
Hell yeah.
Michael Lewis, The Fifth Risk, that's a politics book that really freaked me out, and also very funny.
I tend to listen or to read a lot of David Sedaris.
Oh, I love David Sedaris.
He's very funny.
Well, so there's a great, so Ira Glass wrote this thing, this is probably 10 years old, called The New Kings of Nonfiction, and it's collected pieces of writing that are true, they're nonfiction, I guess, and there's, I think David Sedaris is in there, I definitely recommend that collection, and you know, read through it, see who you like, and then if you find, and David Foster Wallace is in there as well, and if you find someone you like, go pursue that person, like, be like, oh, I like that person, I'm going to go read more of their stuff. That was a great little, like, you know, I'm like learning magic now, and something in magic that you people talk about is like leaving a trail of breadcrumbs. So if you publish a magic trick, you know, nobody comes up with anything in isolation. You know all the people that were influencing that trick. And so it's considered like good etiquette to leave a trail of breadcrumbs. So like that way, if I go read a book or buy a trick and I'm like, man, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen, how do I learn more about that? There's like a trail of breadcrumbs that brings me to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So New Kings of Nonfiction is like good breadcrumbs for finding writers that you like.
Hell yeah.
A Bad Blood, the book about Theranos, fucking phenomenal, insane. So good. One of my really important books about politics that I recommend it to everyone is Don't Think of an Elephant by George Lakoff, and you can also find that on YouTube as a lecture.
Which do you think is better, the book or the lecture?
For me, the lecture, but like I said, like, I'm an audio person, like, I mean, I do read, but like, something about that lecture, I mean, the book is basically a transcript of the lecture.
Okay, so I'll include a link to that in the show notes, but I think that's probably the medium I'd go with, because something that I prefer from the audio medium is that, and I think you might have touched on this earlier, is the fact that I can be doing other things and still be focusing on what I'm listening to. But I have a lot of difficulty like setting aside the time to like sit down and commit to reading. And It's something I'm trying to work on. It's something I'm trying to, because I know, like, you have to balance it out with other things that are going on in your life. If you want to do more reading, you have to spend less time on Twitter. But I just have a hard time reconciling that with myself. So audio seems to be a decent medium for me to at least be able to enjoy my Twitter and my thought-provoking content.
I really liked a book I read a couple of years ago about politics that really stuck with me was Democracy for Realists by Christopher Aiken and Larry Bartell. So this is kind of an omnibus of these two academic political scientists' work. And their question is, how do decisions get made in a democracy? Like, how do we decide what things we're going to do and not do? And they go through all these different what they call folk theories of democracy to see like where does it come from? Is it the people decide something and they vote for those people? Is it money? Is it this? Is it that? And it's somewhat depressing because what they come away with is we have no understanding of where how ideas get decisions get made in democracy. Yeah. Very interesting read. It will really challenge a lot of what you think about American democracy. I really like a writer named Mark Fisher, and he has a book called Capitalist Realism that I recommend to pretty much everyone. I think it's to me, it's the most lucid and on point sort of critique of this current moment that we're living in. And if you want to understand, to me, if you want to understand like what's up with Trump, like why is this happening? Capitalist realism is like the toolkit that will help you with that.
Okay.
It will like give you the language to see. You will see the world in a new way after you read that book.
Okay, I'm slightly terrified, but I have it on my list.
Yeah, it's like for me, it was one of those books of like, I can remember that like, there's the world for me before, there's my life before I read Capitalist Realism and after, but pretty cool. I really liked Evicted by Matthew Desmond. So that's like a case study of these people. He goes to Milwaukee, and it's a case study of people who get evicted. That book was great, and it really made me think of eviction as like a pivotal political issue that we should be talking more about. Still scrolling here looking. Oh boy, here's a good one. The Checklist Manifesto by Atul Gawande.
Yes.
I love that book.
Out of 10 would recommend.
Yeah, that book was great. Very fun to read as well.
I think I got the Audible version, and my God, I started, I'm the reason that our office now has a lamination machine, because there are simple fucking things that, like, when handling a call from a member, you should be able to do, and simple questions you should ask to make sure that they're not getting fucked over, because insurance is a super easy way for people to get fucked over. And just like passing out a laminated checklist to everyone helps immensely to make sure they don't miss like the basic steps that it's like, oh, I know there's no way I'll possibly forget this. Well,
right.
I really enjoyed, what was the one I was just about to recommend? The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt. And the subtitle of that book is Why Good People Are Divided by Politics and Religion. And he's a evolutionary psychologist. My friends who are in that field tell me he's like a well-respected guy and he knows what he's talking about. He's also known for like complaining about the college kids being too PC or whatever. And in this book, he doesn't really get into that. So I enjoyed what he had to say in this book.
Awesome.
Two books about writing that I've really enjoyed, Bird by Bird by Anne Lamont, and A Few Short Sentences of About Writing by Verlin Klinkborg, I think is his name, or something like that. A Few Short Sentences About Writing. Let me make sure I'm saying his name right. A Few Short Sentences of Writing by Verlin Klinkborg. Both of those books, if you're interested in writing, were phenomenal. And then another book that is very formative for me that's, you know, like Don't Think of an Elephant, is I think everyone who works in politics or is interested in politics should read is Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky.
Yes, absolutely. Sorry, I'm just going through random spurts of, like, recognizing books that I really enjoyed and getting way too excited.
Most of, like, what I'm scrolling through here is a lot of, like, I guess I'm surprised to see this, but I guess I buy a lot of, like, pop science and pop tech books. Like, mm-hmm. I've read a lot of these too, and I just don't remember them.
Have you read
and then like academic philosophy books that I don't think anyone would enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Have you read Rules for Rulers or what is that book? The Dictator's Handbook.
The Dictator's Handbook.
It is fantastic.
Sounds like it would be useful for me at work. The Dictator's Handbook, why bad behavior is almost always good politics.
Exactly. It is probably one of my favorite books. It basically goes behind how power works, ranging from very tightly knit authoritarian governments to like more democratic governments, essentially how power is maintained by keeping the keys to power happy. So obviously, if you're in an authoritarian government, you're going to have a very few keys to power, a few people who run finance, military leaders, people to enforce the laws, that sort of thing. And so basically how you keep those people happy is obviously with money. And so that's why so many countries that are based primarily with authoritarian governments have natural resources that are easily sold and are milked for cash, and that the working population that cultivate the wealth in the country get so little of it because that money is taken directly by the leadership of that country, and there's no, the workers can't say no because they'll get shot by the police. So it's in the inverse for democracy for the most part, but it's a very good read. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Cool. Well, that's all the books I have. It's everything I've ever read.
All of them. let me see.
Everything.
I could get into like academic philosophy books that I like, but I don't think anyone would be interested.
I looked at that book that you were talking about, Dylan, and the Amazon link that I got was for Timothy Snyder's book on tyranny, which is like a survival guide for how to live under fascism. So kind of important. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Or am I still breaking up?
No, you're good.
So yeah, I think I gave that to you as well last time I saw you, Dylan.
Oh yeah, they're in the trunk with the machete.
They're in the trunk with your machete.
Yeah, that's still weird. I haven't touched it. I still don't know what to do about that. Max, in case because I don't want you to get hit with this blind. I got a car when I moved back to Ohio. It was a used car, got it off the lot. It was the cheapest one in the lot. One day, I was taking groceries out of the trunk, and there was a machete in the back of the trunk, and I had no idea it was there. And I called the dealership, and they didn't know it was there either. And so it is just kind of chilling in my trunk because I don't know what to do with it.
Is it legal to own a machete?
I did look it up. It technically is, based on some bullshit rule about it being like a landscaping tool, and therefore not a weapon, which I want to give this to like someone for it to like not be an issue. But yeah, in the meantime, until I figure out who the fuck I can start a machete turn-in program with, it's just chilling in my trunk. And it makes me very uncomfortable.
Well, if anyone ever like cuts you off in traffic, they're in for quite a surprise.
Oh, absolutely. I'll just pop back in to the trunk. I'll grab that thing, and I'll be like a good old cavalryman in the good old days. Except I've got more than one horsepower.
I'm over. I have to go test drive a car next week. Maybe I'll ask them if I buy it. Maybe I'll ask them to include the free machete with purchase.
Oh my god, I do need a new car though, because apparently.
What are you gonna get?
I'm probably thinking about going back to a Mazda. I've had Mazdas forever. Like growing up, the first
Go electric. You won't regret it.
I want to, but my credit is terrible, and I can't fucking afford it.
There are reasonably priced electric cars, but probably not as reasonably priced as used, like as older like gas cars.
I've been thinking about doing the electric route, and I'm trying to do everything in my power to not make the world decay faster than it already is.
Well, I don't think you need to feel really bad for owning a gas car. I don't think like climate change is sort of an individual consumer level problem. So I wouldn't feel any guilt about it. Like, you got to live your life.
True.
But that being said, I actually think electric cars are better for other reasons. Like they're just better cars.
Mm-hmm. What car are you looking at picking up?
I'm not really considering getting it, but I'm just sort of out of curiosity. I'm going to look at the Audi e-tron.
Ooh.
And then I'm also looking at the Jaguar I-Pace.
Oh, nice. That's...
And those are the two. So the I-Pace is like truly like a luxury car, and it looks really, I actually think it looks beautiful. It's a really cool car, but like, I don't really want to drive a car around that people are going to like stare at.
Yeah, I feel that because the car I'm currently driving, this good old used car, is a, I think it's a 2000, it's a Jaguar S-Type, and I feel terrible whenever I drive it because I look at the hood.
That's a cool looking car.
It is a cool looking car. Unfortunately, it's a little beat up and it is not going to last. Like I said, my brakes are pretty much shot. I have no idea why. I came back from.
That's not that important.
Yeah, just as long as there's no one in front of me, I'm good to go. Just
you get that.
Swerve.
You get that machete. You jam it in the spokes of the wheel. Manually bring it to a stop. You're fine.
Exactly. Some Ben Ur shit. let's see here. No, I flew back from Philadelphia.
Man, that S-Type is just a classic car. Look at that.
It's really gorgeous. And
what year do you have?
2000. So it's right at the start of the new form factor, and it was...
It's a handsome car. I really like that car.
Yeah.
What color?
It's white.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I love
it
a lot.
Kind of an old lady car, a white Jaguar.
It is. Yeah. And it has an old...
Car oh, man, old I love car. It. I like the, like, four headlights and the center grille.
Yeah. It's... It doesn't have four nice working headlights because it came that way.
That's not that important. You use your iPhone. You use a flashlight.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is kind of an old lady car, and I also gave her an old lady name because I'm one of those people that names their vehicles, and her name is Genevieve.
There you go.
Ginny for short.
Oh, yeah.
Having sexual relations with your car.
I like that. Listen, if you do go back to the... Did you get it from Jaguar dealership?
No, I got it from a used Honda dealership.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, if you find yourself at a Jaguar dealership, take a look at that I-Pace.
Okay.
I don't really think anyone should buy this car, but it's just a cool looking. Here, Google it. Look it up. Jaguar I-Pace. Doesn't it look like a space car?
I'm Googling it now. I-Pace. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, I'm very into this.
Yeah, it looks like an outer space car.
Yeah, it's
and then the other one I'm looking at is the Audi e-tron, and it's the one that's kind of looks like an SUV. It's kind of SUV looking.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But then there's also the Audi e-tron GT, which is what Tony Stark drove in the Avengers when there's a scene where he pulls up in a car.
Uh-huh. Is this from the latest Vengies? Because I still haven't seen it.
There's a prominent product placement in the new Vengies.
Okay. I still have yet to see it because I've been traveling a little bit
Spoiler alert, there's an Audi e-tron GT product placement. The other funny thing is when that car is shown extremely prominently on the screen.
Not see.
That car is shown extremely prominently on the screen. And just keep in mind, it's an electric car, so it is silent and it makes no noise. But they've edited in like a blaring, like roaring engine for of comedic slash cool effect.
I don't want to be rude, but I do have to go soon.
Oh, shit, dog.
If you guys want to wrap up the podcast, you can, and I can exit the call, but... If you want
well,
to send
on,
me
I'm good. Those, to, I'm good to go. I'm like, on. I'm on your guys' schedule. Is there anything else? Any final questions? Any last topics you guys wanna hit before we go?
Who do you think is gonna die tonight on Game of Thrones?
Not watching the season. I'll catch up on it later.
Okay. Word.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it, but I just have to pick what. I don't know. I got stuff. I got shit to do.
You got priorities. You got shit.
Yeah.
You gotta take care of.
I will watch it. I don't know. It's weird because there's some like Veep. I cannot wait. Like I will watch Veep tonight when it comes out. I don't know why. Like I just have to know what happens on Veep, and I just want to see the next episode. Game of Thrones is like I don't know. The next time I have like a long flight, I'll be grateful that I have those episodes. I don't really care what happens. I don't know. I don't. I have a different relationship with it.
All right. So different
have
question.
You guys been watching Barry?
Barry, I have it on my Plex, and again, I have no time. I gotta make time and sit down and watch Barry. I watched the first season and it blew my nuts off.
Later,
I love
Stephen Root.
I love Barry. I watched the first season of Barry and I thought it was like the best thing on TV last year. There's like too much good TV now. Like I just have to pick. And then I just went down I just went and watched, I Think You Should Leave, and then I watched all of Detroiters. And, I can't be binging one show and then also keeping up with 10 other shows.
No, I feel that. Right. What is Detroiters on? Or do you have it on your
Plex? It's on nothing. It's on, I had to pirate it and put it on my Plex.
From Comedy Central, but...
Gotcha.
On something.
Follow-up question.
I kind of cut you off there, Dylan.
Follow-up question. If you guys aren't allowed to say, that's cool, but what happened with the Webbies? Because I was like pushing super hard for the 99% off sale.
I don't think we won just because I could see that the voting totals had the Daily Show beating us.
Fuck.
Of course.
Think Jen says the Daily Show like tweeted about it every day. They might have mentioned it on air. Like we Cards is great and I love our community and the Dubai Friday people who voted for it and all that, but like we're just objectively not as big as the Daily Show.
Yeah,
like the Webbies are literally a popularity contest and the Daily Show just has more viewers than we do, so we right out of the gate we like crushed everyone because we were the first people to like put the word out, but the Daily Show killed us and our shit was better than theirs too.
It was 100%.
Our stuff was much funnier than theirs, but what are you gonna do? It's all right. We'll actually get a trophy. We'll get like a participation award.
Very, very millennial.
We'll get like a you are nominated for a Webby award. But we've won other years, but I guess we just didn't. I guess in those years there just wasn't. We weren't up against like the Daily Show.
Yeah, which also seems I don't know, and I'm not gonna go on that tangent because it just seems fucking weird for someone with that amount of like. Capital and notoriety behind it, like going up for something like the Webbies, which is supposed to be more towards like the
It's like an independent card game with like 12 people who work on it up against like Viacom, CBS, and like a TV network. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, eat the rich.
Thanks, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had a really good time. Appreciate you coming on.
Of course.
All right. Doing plugs?
Yeah.
Max, have something to plug?
Yeah, Max, where can people find you on the internet?
If
you want them to find you.
I don't know.
I mean, if you don't, that's fine.
Just go on Dubai Friday. Listen to Dubai Friday.
Yeah, so
do it.
There's a website y'all should check out. It's super simple. It's called giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. go there and give Max, Alex, and Merlin your fucking money because they deserve
it. Please listen to Dubai Friday. That's where you can hear us recommend more books and podcasts.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, guys. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks for coming on.
Yep. Anytime.
Forgot to add this to the episode, but you can find me, Devin Navaratnam, at devinnava.com and at devinnava on twitter.com. Where can they find you on the internet, Dylan?
Hey, you can find me at my website, which is dylanbickers.com. Also on Twitter, at Dylan Bickers. And you can also find show notes for this episode with hit breakout star Max Temkin at eow.fireside.fm. That is E as in every, O as in octopus, W as in walrus, fireside.fm.
Oh, and you can listen to all of these great beats that were produced by Villainous Beats. He makes our beats for the show at SoundCloud/Villainous Beats. So give him a listen. To end the show, I'm just going to say, free my dude Sonic, man. Free him.
Free my man Sonic.
Free my man Sonic. He didn't deserve that redesign.
He absolutely
Stop shouting
did.
At him, internet.
He absolutely did. He got the human teeth look like Devin. Trash. See you, Devin.
Jeez.
VLNS.
Every other Wednesday.